Here I am to praise. Here I am to thank you for all that you do and continue to do in my life. I'd like for you to turn your attention, if you would, to the Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Amen. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is this he that was set and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Going to the 24th verse. Then again came the man that was blind, and they said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I want to speak with you a little while this morning. The purpose of God's personal mercies, miracles in our lives. The purpose of God's personal miracles in our lives. You know, there's so many things that God does in the miraculous way that he accomplishes things that nobody can but God. And somehow it seems that Jesus is letting us know in this scripture that the reason that this man was blind isn't because of anybody's sin. It isn't because of what something he's done wrong or his parents had done wrong. This was an opportunity for God to work a miracle in his life and to provide a testimony for this man. I suppose you might say he was about to let this blind man become a living testimony. And somehow it seems that as you go and look at the different things that God has done, the miracles that he's worked in our lives, we can say, what's the purpose? Why did God do that in that person's life? Well, certainly we know that a lot of it has to do with the demonstration of God's love. God does things in our lives because he loves us so much. Our situations exist, and he knows that he's the only one who can bring us through and bring us out. Somehow we look at things and we think there's no way to change that. There's no way to get out of that. This situation is what it is, and that's what it's going to be. But somehow it seems that even when things are beyond hope, God is able. God is able. And with his love, he's able to change situations in our lives. Each of us can look at times when we were at a point where it looked like there was no way, and God made a way because of his love. But it's not just because of his love. It also is because it gives us a testimony. It gives us something we can tell other folks. Because everybody doesn't believe yet. Everybody doesn't know who he is. And somehow when God moves in our lives and does something miraculous in our lives, we just are willing to go and tell somebody they need to know our God. Also, it's when he works a miracle in our lives, every time he does, every time he moves, every time he changes something, it strengthens our relationship with him. So good to know that he loves us, strengthens our relationship. No matter what we're going through, and once we realize that God is there and he's going to be there when we need him, it strengthens our relationship. So it's because of his love. It's because of this relationship that he wants to build with us and continue to build with us. And it's also to give us testimony. That man was willing to testify about what the Lord had done. Somehow, when you think about the whole thing, and I didn't go through the whole scripture, it's rather long, but after Jesus had done what he did, after the young man came back and testified that he was able to see, he'd never seen Jesus at this point. He didn't know what Jesus looked like. When they asked him, he said, I know his name. It was Jesus. I know that. And they say, whether he's a sinner or no, he said, I don't know that. All I can tell you is I was blind. I have a history of blindness. I was born blind. I can tell you that I'd never seen anybody. I can't tell you what he looked like because at the time I saw him last, the last time I stood before him last, I could not see. But he came seeing, and now he was able to tell people a lot about Jesus. And as a matter of fact, when the Pharisees came to him and said, you know, I know that this man must be a sinner. What can you tell me? Everybody says, I don't know. All I can tell you is what he did for me. And they asked him again, said, no, tell us how this all happened. He said, well, I told you before. He said, if you didn't believe me now, if I tell you again, are you going to be his disciples also? They got angrier and angrier, and they put him out. His parents knew that if he said or any of them said that Jesus had done this, that they would be put out of the synagogue. Well, the parents, when they asked them, says, is this your son that was blind? Is he the one? Is he the same one? And so, well, you ask him, he's of age. Because they knew that if they said, Jesus did this, and he is the son of the living God, that they were going to be put out of the synagogue. So they weren't willing to do that. Go ask him. He was willing to tell them, though. He said, all I can tell you is I was blind and now I see. And if I tell you again, I guess what he's saying is I feel like I'm his disciple now. If I tell you what happened and give you the story, will you be his disciple also? They got angry and put him out of the synagogue. Well, Jesus came up to him later and asked him, talking to him about it, says, do you know who did this? He said, no, all I know is his name was Jesus and I haven't seen him because he couldn't see until this moment. But he was willing to tell people about this Jesus. As a matter of fact, he was willing to tell them to the point, as I said, he got put out of the synagogue. So after being put out of the synagogue, Jesus came to him and he said, I'm the one. And he bowed down and worshiped Jesus. So I guess this all came together the way the Lord would have it to be. God wanted to have his miracles shown and wanted somebody to have a testimony. He showed that he loved this young man, providing him with the sight that he'd never had. He provided him with the sight, but he also provided him with a testimony. He provided him with a testimony, and somehow this young man was strong. He knew that he's going to be put out of the synagogue. And he knew that there was going to be some anger if he did this, but he was willing to do it because he wanted to tell somebody that God is God. God is powerful. God is loving. God is able. I've got a testimony, I guess he was saying, and I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you again and again if it'll make you become a disciple because I want you to know him like I know him. I want you to recognize him like he didn't know what he looked like. Until he stood there at this last point where we were talking about where Jesus said, I'm the one that did it. And he bowed down before Jesus and praised him. My Lord. You know, Jesus has done this. God has done this not just through Jesus, but through other disciples and through some of the prophets, where he has given somebody a testimony by bringing them through something where it looked like they could not possibly make it. Over and over again, we can look through the scriptures. A little earlier, we were listening to the scripture regarding Naaman. And somehow, if you think about this, now Naaman was pretty high up in the Syrian army. As a matter of fact, he was somebody everybody considered very special. He had a servant who was from Israel. They had actually captured some of the Israelites, and they had a servant who worked for him, and she knew that this problem that Naaman had, I haven't talked about what it was yet, he had leprosy. And she knew that there was somebody over in Israel named Elisha, Elisha, that was able to bring him through this. God could do it through his prophet. That's what it's really saying. Elisha couldn't do this, but God could. God could. And somehow, if you look at the story of Naaman, you find that it aligns itself very much with this story of this young man who was blind. Here's Elisha with a situation that seems hopeless. Somebody says, I know of somebody who can get you in touch with the God of the universe, and they can change the situation. And so he said, well, that sounds, actually she told his wife, and the word got to the king. The king said, we're going to do this for Naaman. So he sent a letter to Israel, and the king of Israel said, oh my goodness, I know that this is really, he's not expecting me to be able to change somebody's life, somebody's, to get rid of this illness. Or I'm not in that position. How can I do it? He's really doing this and really wants to start a war. And so he rent his clothes. He didn't know what to do. Here he was in a situation where he got a letter said, I'm going to send somebody and I want you to heal him. And he knows, I can't do this. And so he was going through what he was going through, and somehow Elisha heard about it. And Elisha said, well, I'll take care of this. So send him to me. So Naaman comes with his in his chariot and all the army with him, and a lot of folks with him to meet with Elisha, and he gets to Elisha's place, and he's standing outside there, and he's expecting Elisha to come out, because, you know, I am Naaman. So Elisha's going to come out and take care of this situation. But Elisha didn't come out. He sent a servant. I said, you go tell him to go down and wash in the Jordan. Wait a minute. Tell him that this is Naaman out here. And so he packed up and he said, I'm out of here. And he left. And one of the servants who was with him said, wait a minute, if he had told you to do something difficult, you would have gone on and had a reason for saying, I'm not going to go through that. But he told you something. He told you just go and wash 7 times. That's all he wants you to do. You can do that. So, well, he did have leprosy. Okay, I'll try it. You know what happened. He went down, he dipped 7 times, and he came out and said his skin was like the skin of a baby. Again, now he had a testimony. He came back to Elisha, and he said, Elisha said, I'm going to let folks know that the only God, the only real God, is the God of Israel. He said, now when I go back, say, I've got a situation that I've got to handle. Because you see, when I go and I'm there with the king, I have to go in, and when he bows down, I need to be there so he can lean on me. He said, but I won't be praising that other God. He said, I'm the God of the universe, the God of Israel, the only God I'm going to serve. He had a testimony because of what God did for him. God made a difference, and he had a testimony. And you know, God wanted him to have that testimony because somebody now heard about God and realized how powerful God is, how real God is. When that blind boy was made to see, people saw. They knew him before he was blind, and now they knew what God had done for him. Naaman, the folks around him knew what Naaman was going through. They knew that he had leprosy, and now they saw that he was a living testimony. A living testimony. But you know what? One of the problems is that two of us are like the mother and father of that boy who was blind. We're not willing to tell it because we don't know how people are going to take it and what our situation is going to be. So many of us have what you might call silent testimony. There are many of us who have been through something. And God wants us to use that testimony to let somebody else know how good he is and how powerful he is and how he's able to do anything but fail. You've got a testimony. You're supposed to tell him. God did it for you because he loves you. God did it for you so that you would know that he is God. God did it for you so you would have a testimony to tell somebody who doesn't know yet how real he is. It's not just a story that somebody told. No. It's a situation that he changed. It's something that somebody has gone through, and because they've gone through it, they can tell somebody, my God is God. My God knows who I am, and God loves me for who I am, and God is able to bring me through all the things. I got a testimony. Some of us are really willing to talk about what God has done in our lives. We say, well, I go to the service and I hear some of those testimonies and I heard the same one over. Well, that's okay. If God has done something for you and you just can't help to tell it over and over how he brought you through, keep on testifying. Keep on telling. Keep on letting people know that what God has done for you is beyond what you could have ever expected. His love for you is so strong and powerful that he is there and he's no respecter person. He did it for Naaman. Naaman was not of the house of Israel. Naaman was, he did that. Now, Naaman had a testimony that he could carry beyond Israel, saying that the God of Israel is the only God. I won't even bow down for those other gods anymore. I can't help but be there in the place because that's where the king wants me to be, standing next to him, and he kneels down. But I won't kneel down with him. I'll walk away and allow him to kneel down. You know what? We talk about Naaman, we talk about that blind boy. Let's talk about the folks who are here in this household of faith. I can assure you that there are those who are here who God has done something special for, and they have not been willing to do what God wants them to do with that miracle. He wants you to tell somebody about what God did, how he brought you through, how God brought you out, how it looked like there was no way but God made a way. Naaman was willing to go in with the king and not bow down. That blind boy was willing to be thrown out of the sanctuary or out of the synagogue. And all of that's okay. We are not willing to stand up and talk about what the Lord did for us. Some of us have talked about it, and we know of some testimonies, some strong testimonies here. We know about you, Deacon Cruz, because you're willing to stand up and tell everybody, my God's God, look what he's done for me. I carry this cane, but I don't need it really that badly anymore. I can walk like I thought I'd never be able to walk again. Reverend Polk, when you come into church now, I know you used to walk real slow, but now you come in with a bounce in your step. God did that. I know that. I've told you often, there was a time when I didn't know how I was going to make it. Had five or six jobs all at the same time. Didn't hardly ever see it. But somehow we did what God told us to do. And when we did what God told us to do, God blessed us in the mind. I need to tell somebody that. I'm not embarrassed about it. I want to tell somebody about the things that God has done for me. God blesses us so you can be a blessing to somebody else with your testimony. God brings you through so you can let somebody know our God is God. He's able. And if you trust him and you put yourself and your situation in his hands, you're going to be blessed. He's able. He's able. He may not do it when you want him to. You may feel like he's not quite on. He's always on time. He's always on time. And he's able to change our situation. You know, a few weeks ago, I know somebody said, Reverend, you never talk about money. And somehow on that Sunday, God put it on. I had to just tell you that the household of faith needs to support itself. But there was a couple of people that came to me and talked to me about the fact that it made them see what they needed to do, and they were going to make a change. But there were some folks who told me that they'd already started doing what the Lord had told them to do, and they were blessed beyond measure. I'm not going to tell you the name, but there was somebody who told me that they had a situation where the house was so far behind several months, and they weren't going to be able to pay, and they didn't know what was going to happen, and they didn't have a job that provided the kind of money that could get that. This is a testimony now. Not my testimony, but someone among this congregation. A testimony. And all of a sudden, it seemed that after they started doing what God told them to do, after they started walking the way God told them to walk, it seemed that somebody came up and offered them a job that made them able not only to pay what their mortgage was, but to get ahead. And now they don't have to worry about it anymore. They're doing what God told them to do. They've been blessed. They are a living testimony. But you know what? There are so many testimonies just like that that people need to hear. Brother Joe has decided he's going to stop telling testimony because somehow it seems that when he tells the people, think I'm just bragging. I'm bragging about my relationship with God. God's so good to him. He does testify, but he doesn't testify like he used to because somehow he feels that I'm saying all this and people think that God is just my God and he serves me so much and he's so good to me and I feel like I'm bragging about my relationship with the God of the universe. Brother Joe, God wants you to keep on telling. He wants you to keep on standing up with pride. He wants you to keep on letting people know that you could not have made it if it had not been for the Lord. Others are here. We know a few because we've heard their testimony, and we're blessed by it. I'm so blessed by the testimonies I've heard about the things that people have gone through and how God has brought them out. I feel good about knowing who God is, and the more I hear about what he's doing for those who I know, the more I see that he's working in the lives of those who need help. And the more I see that everybody's starting to realize, so many are beginning to realize how real he is. Those powerful testimonies. The powerful testimonies about how real God is. We need to let somebody know. God blessed you because he loves you. God blessed you so that you'd be able to get through that situation. God blessed you so you would have a testimony to tell somebody. Preachers can't tell it all. I can tell you what's in the scripture, and I can tie it into my life and with the lives of others. Preacher can't tell it all. Somehow the word needs to get out beyond the preachers. The word needs to get out among those who have been blessed by the powerful love that God has for them. Living testimonies. Living testimonies. Living testimonies. Been through something? God brought you through something? Tell it. I mean, I want to tell it because I don't want anybody to ever know I was ever in that kind of situation. No. You need to let people know where you were and see where God has brought you from. God is able. God is able. God loves us. He wants us to let the world know how good he is, how loving he is, how powerful he is. With all his power, with all his love, why would you ever worry about a situation that you're in? You know what he's able to do. And from what he's done, you become stronger and your relationship with him is stronger. But somebody needs to hear, somebody who is where you were, needs to hear how he brought you through and brought you out. That young man said, I don't know, if I tell you what he did for me, is that going to make you love him too? Are you going to be his disciple like I am? Naaman said, I know I got to go back. I'm not at the top of the pole. I'm somewhere down lower. And when the king bows down, and I'm going to have to be there with him, but I'm not going to bow down to any god except the God of Israel. Testimony. Powerful testimony. God loves us, and he wants us to let the world know how he has touched our lives, how he has changed our situations, how he has brought us out, how he's always there for us. God loves you. God loves you, and God has shown you that he loves you. You ought to be, because of what he's done for you, a living testimony. You ought to let somebody know that our God is God. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Don't let your testimony be silent. Let your testimony be powerful so that everybody knows that God is able. And we need to realize that he's able and willing and loving enough to change our situations. Let us talk to God. Our Father and our loving God, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that as we look at our lives, we can look and see that we are, in fact, living testimonies. You've brought each of us through different situations, but somehow we know that it's one God that's done it all. We know that you're able, and we thank you for what you've done. Father, we can't repay you by the things we give. We can't repay you, Father, to amount to nearly what you've done for us. But we can do, and what we will do, is testify about your goodness, testify about your love, and let the world know that you're real. You are real. We may have read it. We may have heard it from the pulpit. But somehow a powerful testimony seems to touch the hearts of those who are on the verge of believing. Get them to the point where they know that you are real. Help us, Father, to have the determination to let the world know that they need to know you and to get close to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Let us stand. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here who God has touched. And you know that he touched you. Somebody who had a situation, there was no way out, but God brought you out. Somebody had a problem and there was no solution, but God solved it. You know it. But you know, with all of that, the knowledge of how good he is, how loving he is, how powerful he is, how willing he is to touch your life, you have not yet said yes to him. You have not given yourself over to him. Jesus has his arms wide open right now. God loved us so much. Of all the miracles that we look at, none can compare with the miracle of Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing can compare with the salvation that we have because Jesus was willing to take on our sins and pay the penalty for our sins. There was no way for us to make it. We were on our way to hell, except Jesus Christ made the difference. What a miracle. What a miracle. And if you've accepted him, once you have accepted him, you have a testimony because you have heaven in your future. Is there someone who has not said yes yet? He's waiting for you. He's been waiting for you all of your life. He's been waiting for you to get to the point where you recognize who he is. Is there someone who knows who he is, but have not been bold enough to step out and say, I've decided to make Jesus my choice? If that's you, why don't you come on now? Or maybe now, maybe you've already said yes to the Lord. And maybe you already made some commitments of things you were going to do. My Lord. My Lord. He's real. What a mighty loving God we have. Miracle working God. Testimony giving God. If you made some commitments after you said yes to the Lord, and somehow you haven't been able to fulfill them because you're not where you made the commitments, and you haven't really focused on exactly how you're going to do what the Lord would have you to do. If that's you and you want to come and become a part of this household of faith, and help us by using the gifts God has given you to help us to become more of what God would have us to be in this place, why don't you come on? He loves you. He's waiting for you. My Lord. My Lord. My Lord.